This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
All righty.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I got them all free.
Cool. Yep. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Wanted to give you the state of play, as I understand it, with some breaking news overlay about what is going on in Syria. So, let us start there. Last night, and I think over the last like day and a half, the U.S. has launched 75 targeted strikes against ISIS in Syria. Really important, because one of the things that we've got to look out for, as happens when you have regime change, is there's destabilization. In Syria right now, there are roughly three different military forces that hold land. There is the rebel force, the Syrian Defense Force, the rebel force referred to as HTS, as led by Jelani. You've got the Syrian Defense Force, and then you have the National Army as supported by Turkey. Again, they're trying to coalition build. So the U.S. strikes on those ISIS targets in Syria were really important. If anybody thinks that Joe Biden isn't, you know, still doing foreign policy, yeah, he is. Keep an eye on our Kurdish allies. I think the Kurdish allies, the ISIS threat as a new Syrian government tries to stand itself up. And keep an eye on how these different military groups control and really keep an eye on the chemical weapons there. We know Bashar al-Assad used chemical weapons, despite what Tulsi Gabbard might have said, used chemical weapons on his own people. The rebel force, the HTS, today putting out statements saying they have secured or are in the process of securing chemical weapons. The chemical weapons will not be deployed, that their aim is that they are never deployed against people in Syria or property. That is great to hear, but watch the space about chemical weapons, watch the ISIS space, and watch the space about our Kurdish allies. It is the end of one of the most horrifying regimes, long vice grip hold on Syria, nearly 50 years, which started with Bashar al-Assad's father. He really tamped down following the Arab Spring. We do have U.S. troops in northeast Syria, just by way of information, to keep that on your radar. And again, all of this likely possible for two reasons. Iran is weakened and Russia is weakened. Bashar al-Assad able to keep control in Syria because of Russian support. Obviously, Russia has needed some North Korean troops to help shore up its fronts in Ukraine. So Russia, again, itself in a weakened state. It was this perfect storm of events, if you're Bashar al-Assad, that led to a 10-day push by the rebels in Syria that eventually led them to Damascus. Again, watch this space. The things I am looking at and will continue to keep an eye on myself are what will happen with our Kurdish allies, especially east of the Euphrates in Syria. ISIS power. I think ISIS has been so decimated. I'm not particularly worried about that. But even small geographic areas of control from ISIS would be concerning in Syria. And then last but not least, those chemical weapons. Here's what's really interesting about this moment, just to put some additional gloss on it. The Syrian rebel groups at different times had been affiliated with Al-Qaeda and, in fact, ISIS. So now they've effectively disavowed those connections, moved to moderate, and that's where we find ourselves today. And here's the other wrinkle when we talk about ISIS as being one of those three main areas of concern that I noted. There are lots of really bad ISIS dudes currently in Syrian prisons. So, you know, what are the rebel forces going to do there? I don't think the rebel forces, and certainly not the United States, want to see them released. So, again, continue to watch this space. It is going to be, I think, a challenging time for Syria, but certainly I think we join in celebrating with Syrians the fall of what was a regime with historic levels of human rights abuses, as well as a destabilizing force in the Mideast. I'll just make this note. Again, the Tulsi Gabbard problem question is real weird. Like, she had gone to Syria and had met with Bashar al-Assad. It was kind of cozy, and it's always been a little like pro-Russia-ish over there. So, ew. She's going to be the director of national intelligence, coordinating all the activities and intelligence coming out of our nation's like 18 plus intelligence gathering operations with little to no, I'm going to call it zero actual qualifications for that. Ugh. Concerning. Very concerning. But I promised you all that we would get to the Donald Trump interview on NBC yesterday morning on the Sunday talk shows. This was his first network interview since he won elections. So this was a big deal. And it was a pretty wide-ranging interview. I'm going to talk about it with Dom also at the bottom of the hour. So basically the rest of the day we're going to spend on that because there's a lot to get to here. One of the things that I want to point out, and Cardi, this is going to be, let's take a look here. This is going to be cuts 24 and 34. Give me a thumbs up when you're ready to go. This is the interviewer here is a female woman of color. I would call this a light fact check interview. Just light. She lets Donald Trump answer questions at length. He does his signature sort of blather on and on and on. There's some light fact checking. It happens maybe a handful of time in what is an hour and 15 minute long interview. And yet, Donald Trump, not once, but twice, insulted the hell out of the interviewer, which I think is really interesting. So I actually wanted to start there because it is, just to remind us all, that's really weird. Like, you just won the presidency of the United States. I don't care what party you belong to. You're going to get some tough questions about, hey, what are the plans here? That is part of what you sign up for. It doesn't make a reporter biased. It doesn't make them mean. They're doing their job. And when you say, obviously and evidently untrue things, I think we would all want a reporter to challenge that. Right? To me, that's the important part. So just contextually, I found these two moments incredibly fascinating. So why don't we start with cut number 24. Listen to him insult this woman because he doesn't like being asked tough questions.
This about January 6th.
I wish you could be you have such potential. If you could be just non-biased, you hurt yourself so badly. I'm telling you, they deleted and destroyed.
And let's take cut 34 right away.
On the press, I should have gotten no votes, none. And yet I got the highest number ever. And the reason is because I'm able to go on a show, even like yours, even though you're very hostile, I'm able to go on a show like yours. No, you are.
Well, hopefully you thought it was a fair interview. We covered a lot of policy ground.
It's fair only in that you allowed me to say what I say. But, you know, the answers, the questions are, you know, pretty nasty. But look, because...
What? And the first cut is really like the mind blower to me because he's basically like, let me give you a little tip here, toots. He might as well have said that. Like, you know, you're good looking enough. You seem nice enough, but what you need to do is ease up a little bit there, little lady. Like, I don't appreciate the toot on you. Might as well called her a nasty woman. Oh, wait. Yeah, he did that just later in the interview. You're pretty nasty. It's not nastiness to ask the president of the United States specifics about what his policy plans are, how he's going to fulfill the promises that he made during the campaign. We're going to talk about some of those promises and things this afternoon, because the other thing that I was absolutely stunned by, you actually think it's a good interview tactic to call your interviewer names like in the interview? It's just bad form, dude. But the other thing that I was pretty shocked by was most of these questions were, not most, every single one of them was utterly and completely predictable. And yet, on a couple of crucially important topics that he made promises about during the campaign, he had absolutely nothing to offer. Nothing. Not a scintilla of information, not a deadline, not a bit of policy detail. We're going to talk about a few of those things when we come back, just on the other side of this very brief set of messages. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked and join us, 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Happy Monday, everybody. Lots of breaking news. Some of that breaking news is that the Madison Teachers Union has demanded to reopen negotiations with the city of Madison. This in the wake of that Act 10 ruling where a Dane County judge declared the whole kit and caboodle to be unconstitutional. Watch that space. That's going to be absolutely fascinating. Another bit of breaking news that I saw come across the line while we got on air here, which... Rupert Murdoch has failed in his bid to alter a family trust whereby he would have been able to consolidate his empire under his son Lachlan and lock in Fox News's right-wing slant. Isn't that fascinating? Isn't that fascinating? Probably want to get that trust set up right the first time. We've got Dom Salvia joining me at the bottom of the hour. He and I are going to dig back into the Trump interview. But right now, we're going to start with cut 3. And I'm going to move through a number of things pretty quickly. And what I want you to be listening for is the actual what's in the hows. Okay? Now, this one is the gimme quote from the entire interview, I think. Because remember what Donald Trump said the entire time through the campaign? It was all about Biden inflation and Biden inflation and Biden inflation and border, border, Biden inflation, Biden inflation, border, border. No, I won't sign a national abortion ban. Like, those are the three themes. So you would think whatever he's going to say about tariffs and all that kind of stuff, the main theme would be, of course, inflation's not going to go up because I got this all on lock. But let's take a listen, Cardi. This is cut number three.
Signature promises on the campaign trail, which was to end inflation, to lower prices. You are now proposing tariffs against the United States' three biggest trading partners. Economists of all stripes say that ultimately consumers pay the price of tariffs.
I don't believe
it. Can you guarantee American families won't pay more?
I can't guarantee anything. I can't guarantee tomorrow.
Oops. Oops. And then you would hope that if your entire thing was Biden inflation, border, no abortion ban that's national. Remember three themes. Biden inflation, border, no national abortion ban. That on the inflation piece, if you, quote, can't guarantee anything, that you might actually be possessed of the facts surrounding inflation under your predecessor, since this was the reason you were telling everybody to vote for you. But let's take a listen here. This is cut four, Cardi.
China, we took in hundreds of billions of dollars, and we had no inflation. In fact, when I handed it over, they didn't have inflation for a year and a half. They wanted almost 2 years.
What is he even talking? Like, no. And like, wait a minute. If there was no inflation for 2 years, what the hell were you running on? Biden inflation. 2 years. No, inflation hit its peak in June of 2021. Joe Biden took office, inheriting Donald Trump's failing economy in January 2021. And by June, we hit the highest peak of inflation. It's been going down since then. Doesn't even know about it. So remember, Biden inflation. Well, I can't guarantee anything, and I have no idea what the inflation rate was during my predecessor's term. That, why didn't he say that during the campaign? Oh, how about this one? You know, because tariffs, everybody says they're going to get passed along to the customer. This is going to be cut number 17, Cardi. Cut number 17. He just says, no, they won't. Well, what if they do? Then what?
Destroying the deep state. Do you want Cash Patel to launch investigations into people on that list?
Oh, I'm sorry. I gave you the wrong cut, Cardi. This is cut seven, not 17. I can't even read my own writing.
we'll
get there. Cut seven. My bad. Again, what if tariff costs do get passed along to customers?
Pay more. Will you punish CEOs who try to pass the cost of tariffs onto their customers?
Well, the market's going to take care of it. I mean, actually, the market takes care of it. And if it doesn't, we adjust it somewhat.
The market takes care of it. You mean customers pay more. So I'm just, these three cuts, right, tell you that everything that Donald Trump said about inflation is absolute garbage. Biden inflation. Can't guarantee it's going to be lower. Doesn't know what the inflation rate was during the Biden administration. And, quote, the market will solve it or will, what was that? Adjust it somewhat. It's just nonsense. So we had that, the border. I'll talk about that in a minute because he lied about that a whole bunch. And then we're going to cut 16 here. Remember the, like, no abortion ban. It's all fine. Don't worry about it. No abortion ban. He gets asked about IVF. Let's just listen to this nonsense.
Looking for it. And I got a call from Katie Britt, who's a terrific person, senator from Alabama. And she said, sir, we just had a really negative ruling from a judge in Alabama, conservative judge, that
banning
all of these
IVF
clinics had to be closed. And she said, and she went into great detail, and she said people are devastated over it. And after literally speaking to her for 5 minutes, I issued a an order, really an order in a sense. And
in a sense,
it was a statement from the Republican Party that we are all for IVF and fertilization. Okay. The Alabama legislature met the following day and passed it. It was a beautiful thing to see. And I consider myself to be the father of IVF in a certain way. And the Republicans were very strong on the issue.
But, sir, I want to understand where it falls in your list of priorities. I mean, is this something we can expect to see you try to move on in the first 100 days?
We're going to be talking about it, and we're going to be seeing. We have a lot of other things. I have tax cuts. You know, we'll be.
I just want you to absorb all of that. Because of Donald Trump's Supreme Court, abortion rights were overturned. Because abortion rights were overturned, Alabama judges declared IVF to be unlawful. By the way, other states have been doing so. And he's like, don't worry about it, because tax cuts. That was his response. Don't worry about it, because tax cuts. So to summarize, Biden inflation, bunch of garbage. No national abortion ban, bunch of garbage. We'll talk about the border next with my little buddy and more of Donald Trump's lies on NBC yesterday, right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Don't go anywhere.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
What's up, everybody? I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is Monday. It is 3:30, and that means it's time for In Case You Missed It with Dom Salvia. And in case you missed it, I listened to the entire Trump interview like twice.
Yeah. Sorry. Thank you for doing that,
yes.
Maggie.
Someone has to do your homework for you, Dom. So the bigger thanks should be to Cardi, who cut 34 different cuts.
Wow, Cardi, that's hard work, man.
I've been summarizing this as here was Donald Trump's campaign for president. Bad inflation. No national abortion ban. Border. And then, like, punish my political enemies. It's not really Project. I'm just going to put that stuff and call it democracy.
Yes. Okay.
Like, I won't be crazy. Democracy, right? So when it comes to bad inflation, turns out, no guarantees here. That's what he said yesterday on NBC.
I can't guarantee anything.
Can't guarantee tomorrow. Has no idea what the inflation rate actually was during Joe Biden's administration, which makes clear that it wasn't ever really about that anyways.
It was just too high, Maggie.
It's just bad inflation. And then lastly, if those pesky tariffs actually end up costing people more money, he was asked, would you punish CEOs for passing along those costs? And that's not going to happen. I don't believe that happens. But if it does, then the market will fix it. And if the market doesn't, we'll, quote, adjust it somewhat. I assume he means the tariffs.
Maybe.
But yeah, by the market fixing it, Donald, that's the companies passing the costs on to consumers.
The market will absorb the change, which will either involve increased cost to the consumer or less demand to the producer.
Correct.
Right? I mean, there you go. A combination thereof.
Yes, because as prices increase, demand goes down.
I mean, doesn't the market always take care of everything all the time for Republicans?
Yes, just ask a Republican. Right. So we took care of that whole platform.
All right, good. Excellent.
Bad inflation. Turns out he knows nothing about it, doesn't really care to know anything about it, and just spews nonsense if it appeals to people who won't Google anything. The next one was like, No abortion ban. He got asked very clearly because this all came to a head about IVF. He prattled on for minutes and minutes. I cut it down to its essence. And when pressed to answer the question about how are you going to enshrine IVF rights and how are you going to do this and where is it on your priority list, he's like, oh, but the tax cuts. That legit was the answer to that question.
So avoid the question entirely.
Yeah, so didn't answer the question about how he's going to make sure that families can control when and how they get pregnant.
I thought he was the father of IVF.
He did say that and then went on to be like, tax cuts.
Tax cuts.
I'm confused along with everyone else. So yeah, bad inflation. That was garbage. No national abortion ban. Well, your Supreme Court overruled the right to abortion, which led to IVF being declared illegal in not one but two states and the erosion of reproductive care and fertility care. But your answer to that is tax cuts. So that was all garbage. Which brings us to border, border, border. And then we'll talk about the democracy problem. I just want to start with the border problem.
Yes.
Let's just start with cut 10, Cardi. Cut 10, because this is his answer. And when you put this on the back of the tariffs and no guarantees, he gets asked the baseline question. Here it is.
Talk about mass deportation, one okay. of your big agenda items. You've talked about prioritizing people who have criminal histories.
Correct.
But is it your plan to deport everyone who is here illegally over the next 4 years?
Well, I think you have to do it. And it's a very tough thing to do.
You have to do it. So, Dom, what's that going to do to the price of food?
Oh, it's going to be great. Don't worry about it.
It's going to be great. Yeah, the market price, will adjust it.
Exactly. We've talked about this here in the state of Wisconsin. A big chunk of migrant labor are probably, quote unquote, illegal, right? But how do you do this? We talked to the farmer Hans not so long ago. People fill out their I-9 forms. They may or may not be accurate, but they're accurate enough to, you know, get paid, right? So how are you going to, if you're going to deputize, you know, the sheriffs, you're going to deputize the Proud Boys, how are you going to go onto Hans's farm and determine whether or not these folks are they here, quote unquote, legally or illegal? I mean, literally, what is that process? What does that look like? Show me your papers.
No idea.
No idea.
No idea. We're going to take cut 5. This is back on the tariffs because this all is of a piece, right? Like the idea that you're going to basically deport America's cheap labor workforce and all of them, however many billions or trillions that's going to cost. You make no guarantees on inflation. You have no plan for protecting IVF. And you keep talking about tariffs, and your understanding of tariffs is this. Cut 5.
Sir, your previous tariffs during your first administration cost Americans some $80 billion. And now you have major companies from Walmart, Black & Decker, AutoZone saying that any tariffs are going to force them to drive up prices for their consumers. How do you make sure that these CEOs, that these companies don't, in fact, pass on the cost of tariffs to their consumers?
They cost Americans nothing. They made a great...
That's untrue. You have no freaking idea. And then again, when it comes to the CEOs and how are you going to enforce it, remember, the answers were the market... And if the market doesn't fix it, we'll adjust it. I wonder how many American families are going to go hungry as he figures out how the market works.
Well, I mean, Americans won't pay for it if Americans don't buy the product.
That's
the only way that Americans do not pay for it. And what does that do? Well, of course, it drives down demand. And what is that going to do for the GDP and for growth? It's going to suppress it.
Those are the screeching brakes bringing our economy to a halt. Let's take cut 11 because I heard this number so many times, I just need to address it. Let's take cut 11, Cardi.
At 11,000 and 13,000 different estimates, 13,099 murderers released into our country over the last 3 years. They're walking down the streets. They're walking next to you and your family. And they're very dangerous.
The 13,000 figure, I think, goes back about 40 years.
No, it doesn't. No, nope. It's within.
Yes, it does. And I just want to make this really clear. Dear Donald, we have additional law enforcement agencies other than Border Patrol. And so when someone has committed a crime or is accused of committing crime, Border Patrol is not responsible for incarceration and prosecution. Get it, Donald? So even though many people were, quote, released from Border Patrol's custody, they actually went from Border Patrol into other federal agency custody. And yes, the number goes back 40 freaking years.
Yes, it does. What was your thought on Welker's response to that and just the general sense of the interview?
She was about as nice as you could possibly be. The fact checks were light, numbered less than 10 by my count. I actually tried to count them. And yet I began my discussion of this interview with the one, not just one, the two times that he basically called her biased and nasty. Yeah. He insulted her instead of answering the gosh darn questions. Let's talk about birthright citizenship. In case anybody actually was wondering about what he was going to do, Cardi, this is cut 14. Cut 14, if you would, please.
Let me ask you about some of your other promises on this topic. You've promised to end birthright citizenship on day one. Is that still your plan?
Yeah, absolutely.
The 14th Amendment, though, says that, quote, all persons born in the United States are citizens. Can you get around the 14th Amendment with an executive action?
We're going to have to get a change. We'll maybe have to go back to the people, but we have to end it. We're the only country that has it.
Just again, you know nothing about any of this. It just, the sheer level of ignorance is shocking. About 36 countries provide automatic citizenship to people born on their soil, including our neighbors Canada and Mexico and the majority of South American countries. I could go on. You know nothing about whence you speak, sir.
But if you say it with conviction, does it make it true? Because it seems, it seemingly sells to those who are listening to
him. Well, this is my whole point. It's just, why don't, maybe Democrats should just repeat like 3-4 things over and over. Bad inflation, no national abortion ban, border. It has no meaning. Words have facts. No meaning. Facts are irrelevant. Speaking of facts, this is a doozy. We're going to go to cut 28. He's being asked about his appointment of RFK Jr. Listen to these non-facts.
Going back 25 years, studies show that there is no link between vaccines and autism. And yet it sounds like you are open to the possibility of him getting rid of them.
I think somebody has to find out. If you go back 25 years ago, you had very little autism. Now you have it. I mean,
well, they say because they're better at identifying it.
1 in 100,000, and now it's 1 in 100. That's a pretty bad number.
Childhood vaccines.
I mean, something is going on. I don't know if it's vaccines. Maybe it's chlorine in the water, right? You know.
I'm sorry. Did that just happen? It's chlorine, not chlorine. It's fluoride. You moron.
It's the chlorine in the pools.
Wow. As long as we're here, let's take cut 29. She again tries to fact check him.
And scientists say that's because they've gotten better at identifying it, and there's no link in
but
studies.
The drug companies are going to be working with RFK Jr. And he's been an interesting guy to me. I've watched him for 25
years. That qualifies him.
And he's been an interesting guy.
He's very interesting. That qualifies him to handle this.
This is insane. It is not okay. This is that's bananas. It's untrue. It is not how U.S. federal health policy should be decided. But here's the real doozy. And Cardi, we're going to go from this to cuts X, Y, and Z. I might need to save the cuts for on the other side. But let's just take cut 30 right here. He's being asked about Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. Let's take a listen.
The election coming up, but you've tapped Elon Musk, Vivek Ramaswamy, to head up this Department of Government Efficiency.
Correct.
Which proposes cuts to the federal government. I think a lot of people hear that and they get concerned about Medicare and Social Security and
not
Medicaid.
Not going to have anything to do.
And defense spending.
We're talking
you
about
won't touch
theft,
Medicare, Social Security.
Abuse, fraud. Okay. No, I said to people, we're not touching Social Security, other than we might make it more efficient, but the people are going to get what they're getting.
Okay, so the entitlements
and
off
we're not
the
raising,
table.
And we're not raising ages or any of that stuff.
Okay, no, off the table.
I won't do it.
Okay.
Off the table, but here's Cut X. This is Ron Johnson saying just the opposite, just not too long ago.
Yes, and you know, defense spending has always been discretionary. No, VA spending is discretionary. What's mandatory are things like Social Security and Medicare. If you qualify for the entitlement, you just get it no matter what the cost. And our problem in this country is that more than 70% of our federal budget, of our federal spending, is all mandatory spending. It's on automatic pilot. You just don't do proper oversight. You don't get in there and fix the programs going bankrupt. It's just on automatic pilot. What we ought to be doing is we ought to turn everything into discretionary spending so it's all evaluated so that we can fix problems or fix programs that are broken that are going to be going bankrupt. No. Because, again, as long as things are on automatic pilot, we just continue to pile up debt. It's mortgage our kids' future. It's this massive debt burden.
Yeah, so zero out Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security. And then let's listen to Richard McCormick cut Z just last week.
The problem with the Democrats is they've never run out of things that they can give away for free, quote unquote. When you talk about $1 trillion in debt payment just on interest alone every year, we can't just talk about the military, though. The military can do some things better. We can save some money just in the way of contract. We can be careful that we don't decrease our abilities because China is right on our heels. However, if you talk about 75% of the budget, 75% is non-discretionary. We're going to have some hard decisions. We got to bring the Democrats in and talk about Social Security, Medicaid, Medicare. There's hundreds of
there it is, y'all. From Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson and GOP Representative Richard McCormick saying Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid, yeah, they're on the table, even though DJT just said they weren't. We're going to come back with more with Dom Salvia for in case you missed it. You don't need to listen to Donald Trump's interview. I got you covered. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked. Last segment is next.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back, everybody. Dom Salvio's up next. He's got that great show that follows mine every Monday through Friday from 4 to 6. He's with me for Monday's installment of In Case You Missed It right here on the Maggie Dawn Show. Thanks for sticking around, Dom.
Hey, Maggie, my pleasure. I did miss it. I try not to watch too much of Trump over
the weekend. John from West Dallas also weighing in saying, thank you for watching it so that I don't have to. You are welcome, John. You are very, very welcome. You remember... So we have now dispensed with all of his nonsense on border, 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 bad inflation, and what was the other one? Oh, yeah, no national abortion ban, and I'll protect IVF, except all of this total garbage and lies and the protecting Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. Why was that important? Because this is what Project 2025 proposes, dismantling brick by brick by brick, dollar by dollar. We know that Donald Trump's saying he's going to protect that is a bunch of hooey, because everybody else in his party is saying it's right back on the table, including Wisconsin's own Ron Johnson. But this is what Donald Trump had to say about Project 2025, which blew my mind. It is cut 21. Remember when he's like, I have nothing to do with it.
Nothing to do with it.
Nothing to do with it. Cut 21. Let's take a listen.
Talk about Project 2025. This is the conservative policy blueprint. You disavowed it during the campaign. You called it a product of the radical right. You've said some of
radical.
I said some of it is. Some of it is very good. Some of it's very mainstream, actually. Frankly, the Democrats should have used some of it because they went, you know, with all the transgender that they were doing and with the men playing in women's sports. Well, if they wouldn't have done that, maybe they would have done better.
It's mainstream now. It was radical and abysmal before. It's mainstream now. And transgender. I mean, are you catching a theme? He just blurts words out as if that's an argument about something. But I want to get to his discussion of Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger because their responses have been incredibly important. Let's listen to Cut 23.
That's the end of Kamala. I really did. I thought it was a terrible move, especially if you're a Democrat. But Cheney did something that's inexcusable, along with Thompson and the people on the Unselect Committee of political thugs and, you know, creeps. So the Unselect Committee went through a year and a half of testimony. Wait. They deleted and destroyed all evidence of that they found. You know why? Because Nancy Pelosi was guilty. Nancy Pelosi turned down 10,000 troops. You wouldn't have had a J6 because other people were guilty. The people that said that I attacked two Secret Service agents in a car.
We can wrap this clip. It just, it goes on and on. So he name checks Pelosi. He name checks Cheney. He claims that the J6 committee destroyed evidence. By the way, that's illegal. Just want to tell you that. In fact, the committee did not destroy all evidence. It released an 800-page report, as well as 140 transcripts of testimony and various memos, emails, and voicemail messages. The evidence remains online. You can go get it. And by the way, all that evidence is also in possession of the FBI, which apparently Cash Patel is now going to control. Also, breaking news, Republican Senator Joni Ernst says she will support the appointment of Pete Hegseth to be Secretary of Defense. Shame on you, Joni. Shame on you. So he called the J6 committee thugs. And
creeps.
And creeps. This entire interview, basically what he says, because he's asked in 18 different ways, and I'm not going to play the sound, will you direct the FBI or the National Security Apparatus or the DOJ to go after your political enemies? And he says no, but if there was misdeeds, if people were doing bad things, they should be looked into. Well, when you call the January 6th committee thugs, like, of course that's what you mean. And Pam Bondi and Cash Patel and Pete Hegseth and all the rest of them know that, do they not, Dom? So what did you make of Adam Kinzinger's response, as well as Liz Cheney's, which I thought were great?
I absolutely love it. Here's what Kinzinger said. If Donald wants to pursue this vindictive fantasy, I say bring it on. I'm not intimidated by a man whose actions on January 6th showed a cowardly disregard for democracy and the rule of law. A man too frightened to serve in the military who requires a strong man like Putin to feel secure. While his supporters were attacking the Capitol, Trump sat in the White House watching in glee as law enforcement and elected officials scrambled to protect our public. Bring it on.
Bring it on. Liz Cheney wrote an extensive response. Donald Trump knows his claims about the Select Committee are ridiculous and false. There's no conceivably appropriate factual constitutional basis for what Donald Trump is suggesting, a Justice Department investigation of the work of a congressional committee. Here's the summary. That entire interview was just BS at the highest levels. No mastery of facts, no understanding of policy, no respect for democracies or democratic principles or our gosh damn Constitution. That is our new president. Jack from Merrimack, you've been so patient. You're going to get the last word of the day, Jack.
Thank you, Maggie. Just wanted to say people should have known what they were getting with Trump, from 30,000 lies in 4 years to the chaos of his last administration, to the fact many of the over a million pandemic deaths could have been prevented if the response had been appropriate, but it wasn't. We've heard nothing but 4+ years of lies from Trump and the MAGAs, and those lies have been repeated with little rebuttal from the media, both the Foxes and the legitimate media. And I'd like to remind folks who don't understand how independent voters could vote for him of a quote from Hannah Arendt, the German-American historian who studied Nazis extensively. This constant lying is not aimed at making people believe the lie, but to ensure no one believes anything anymore.
But to ensure no one believes anything anymore, there are such things as objective facts, y'all. And we try to bring them to you here on Civic Media. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But it's always better when we stand together for facts, our democracy, and the Constitution. Dom Salvio's next, y'all. Keep it locked.
The national news cycle never stops. but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.